Just a quick thought experiment, something to put in our minds. If you were queen for a day, if you were king for a day, if you're gender non-binary for a day, if you had absolute power in this world for 24 hours, what would you do? You have 24 hours, get it done. What are you gonna do? That's a lot. It's a lot of time, it's a lot of thought. I'm kind of throwing this at you, so let's make this a little simpler. Let's boil it down just a little bit. If you had absolute power for 24 hours, what's the first thing that you would do? So the funny thing is, when I asked this last night at our Saturday night service, somebody yelled out a response. Some of you are thinking it. It's okay if you don't want to yell it out, I understand. But I will tell you what I've been thinking about, what my first thing would be if I was queen for a day, if I had absolute power in a 24-hour period. The first thing I would do, brace yourselves, is I would require any company that's doing yard work, that's doing tree work, that's doing water, that's doing sewer, that's doing power work, that's doing telecom work on the side of a road like Brayton or Lincoln or Ogle here, these narrower side streets, I would require them to all put out cones all the way around their work area. Yeah, that's what I would require. That would be the first thing I would do. It's benign. It means nothing to anybody. It accomplishes virtually nothing. What it speaks to is me. It speaks to what I want. It speaks to how I orient the world around myself. Because I suppose if I was doing this right, I would be, you know, striving for racial justice across this entire nation. I would be outlawing all of those hate laws that exist in every nation of this country. Even our state has a few, though there are some states that seem to collect them like baseball cards. I would eliminate all of it. I would eliminate all of the economic injustice to ensure that every single human is guaranteed food, shelter, clothing, and health care, because those are promises that God gives us throughout Scripture. I would eliminate all of the racial violence that we experience, like what we just experienced in Buffalo, New York, just this weekend. But even as I say that, and I wish that I was queen for a day and had that power, I know I don't have that power. You and I don't have the power to bring about that kind of change. No one here on earth has that kind of power, so we tend to aim low. So I'm aiming for cones to be put around mow crews and around landscaping crews that are along side streets, because maybe in 24 hours I might be able to accomplish that. We've been hanging out in the book of Revelation for the last few weeks, so just to get ourselves all caught up, Revelation is a book that is written primarily for the persecuted and the oppressed. People who have been told their entire lives that their life does not matter. Beyond that, Revelation, as I've been describing it to people, Revelation is, well, it's something like a roller coaster. If you've ever read Revelation, chapter 1 to chapter 22, it's got some incredible highs and it's got some really deep valleys. It's got some weird stuff that's going on in this text. And so it might make us somewhat uncomfortable. And one of the revelations I would argue that comes out of this text is that for some of us, when we get really uncomfortable with language about war, language about violence, language about bloodshed and conquering those who have great power, some of that might be a reminder to us that we live a relatively safe life. So we can't imagine for ourselves having that drastic of a change. We can't imagine in this world having that big of an accomplishment, because again, we orient the world around ourselves, around what we can accomplish, what we could envision, and we can't envision something like peace that spreads across all of creation. So we're reminded again through Revelation in our reading today that we need God. John writes, by the way, it's not that John. John writes here in our reading for today, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." We are being promised a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we don't dwell in the realm of heaven, so we can't quite put our minds around that, no matter how hard we try. I know some of us wonder if maybe the heaven that we will go to will be this perpetual golf course that we'll spend the rest of our days on, or maybe it's a perpetual garden where we get to pull out all the weeds and feel the satisfaction of producing life and color. Maybe we imagine that the heaven that we are going to is going to be something like a shop with every tool that we've ever wanted and every car that needs to be fixed, and we would have the skills to do that. We know that's not heaven. But again, we're limited by what we can imagine. So we don't really know what a new heaven would even look like, because we don't know what the old one would look like, but we can imagine earth. because we know what this life is like. We know what it's like to walk these streets. We know what it's like to walk in our lives. And God is promising a new heaven and a new earth. A new earth, not an improved earth, not an earth 2.0 because it takes out some of the bugs and just makes it a little bit more playable and easier to download. A new earth. Everything about this life is coming to an end. God is promising from the throne, everything about this life is coming to an end. Which means all of the things that we despise, all of the things that we hate, all of the things that make us uncomfortable, all of the things that make us angry, and all of the things that we love and cherish and we would want to hold on to, that's where we find our resistance with God. Even when we hear about this proclamation that we will be dwelling in a new earth, one that we can't even comprehend or imagine because we can't get ourselves out of the center. We can't imagine a world without what we already know. So we would strive for tweaks. We would strive for maybe small adjustments. We were going to strive for maybe little changes here or there. But for the most part, we like Earth the way it is. Generally speaking, and this is broad brush, we like life the way it is. So we remind ourselves of Revelation is written for us because it's meant to be read in churches just like this one, and it is also written for the persecuted. It's written for the oppressed. It's written for people who have no voice, who have no say, who have no identity, and are told that their lives do not matter. You and I have a vision of how the world could work. The real problem with that is so does the person sitting next to you. Even if we're married to them, even if they're our kids, even if they're our grandkids, every person has their own vision of the world because every one of us orients the world around ourselves. So who gets to be queen for a day? Who gets to be king? Who gets to decide how people will live and love and function in this world? Certainly we know that if we all agreed to what kingdoms of heaven and earth might look like, well then we'd probably be worshiping 3,000 people every single weekend, because that's roughly how many people live in Mount Morris. What we wind up doing as people of God, as we strive and we persevere, this summer we're going to be feeding kiddos out on our lawn. We're going to be doing good work. You have done good work. You continue to do great work because you are all faithful, dedicated, loving people. It's why you gather in spaces like this to be reminded again of God's love for you. And for all the work that we do and for all the striving that we do and for all the prayer that we do and for everything that we offer to God and we offer to our community, still there is persecution. Still there is suffering. Still there are hateful acts of shooting that happen across our country, in our schools, in grocery stores. There's still sin. Because you and I can't take ourselves out of the center, and you and I don't have that kind of power. We can't imagine a life without any of it. So we need God. So God is making this promise. He's been making this promise since the very beginning of creation. But here we are in chapter 1, chapter 21, 22. We're at the very end of the roller coaster. We're at that point where we can see where we're about to get off the car. So we're getting really close. But in the midst of this good news, we hear God telling us that God is coming. And that God is going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. One that we can't comprehend, but one that we are longing for. One that we are hoping for. One that we would love to accomplish ourselves, but we can't. Because we can't get out of the way. God is promising a new earth. And God is promising to take us out of the equation. Now this is good news meant for us. It's good news meant for our neighbors because we need grace. We need grace to be washed over us as it was just washed over Callan just moments ago. We need that grace to remind us again that we are loved by God no matter what. We need the words of forgiveness spoken over us to remember again that no matter what we've done, where we've gone, what we have accomplished, and what bridges we have burned, still we are loved by God. We need God's compassion to see our neighbors, our coworkers, our classmates as equally people of God, just like you and me. We need God because we can't do this work. In fact, we will choose to never do this work. We need a new earth. So God is promising us a new earth. God is offering us what we can't accomplish ourselves. God is offering us something that we cannot envision ourselves. How your life and my life will be absolutely oriented around God. We'll be absolutely oriented around the cross. We'll be oriented around forgiveness, around grace, around compassion, around peace. around justice, God's coming. God's already come, came through Christ, who gives us new life. That's how we know that we have been washed in these waters. And every time we rise out, as our brother Callan just rose out of these waters, every time you splash water on your face, you are reminded again that you are being made new. You are not yourself 2.0. You are not just an updated version. You are being made new. This is God's love for you. This is God's forgiveness for you. This is God's compassion for you. We need God. We can't do this work on our own. We cannot accomplish what God needs. So God does this work. This is our good news. This is God's work. This is God's love. This is God's solidarity with the persecuted and the oppressed, with you and I who suffer and move about and wonder what more we could possibly do because we can't ever seem to do enough. It is God's work. We need God. This promise of a new heaven and a new earth, it is a reminder of everything that God has done through your life, your neighbor's life, through Callan, through all of us. This promise is a reminder of all that God continues to do in creation, in the homes of our neighbors, our classmates, our co-workers, our colleagues, our family, and even with our enemies. God is coming. God is coming down to be with us, to dwell with us forever, so that we can be taken out of the center and we can remember the depth of God's love for every single person that walks creation. Amen.